Hi, good morning, everybody. For anyone who knows Kim Gilhooly, you will realize that I am not Kim Gilhooly. She unfortunately had a family emergency in Michigan and couldn't make it today, so she asked me, I'm her colleague, Lily Farhang, I work with her at Human Impact Partners, to stand in for her this morning. So I'll apologize because she asked me to do this last night, and so I'm going to just basically read some notes and words off the slide, so I apologize for not giving you maybe the most inspiring presentation this morning. So what I'll be talking about is bringing community voice to the decision-making table using health impact assessment. Health impact assessment, just in case folks don't know, is basically an applied research tool where you're looking at the health and equity impacts of proposed decisions. So they can be local land use decisions, they can be labor policies, they can be criminal justice related policies, really any kind of sort of social determinant of health policy or decision that's being made by some decision makers. Health impact assessment is kind of a structured research process to look at the impacts of that on health and health inequities. And so our organization, Human Impact Partners, we're based in Oakland, California. We're a national nonprofit working to transform the policies and places people need to live healthy lives by increasing the consideration of health and decision making. Basically, we want decision makers to understand the externalities of decisions and social determinants of health domains on health and inequities. And we do that through research and advocacy and capacity building, and we're often supporting different kinds of social justice campaigns across various social determinants of health. And so we've, along with several other organizations, pioneered the use of health impact assessment in the early 2000s and up through today. And health impact assessment is guided by a set of values and requires sort of intense stakeholder engagement. And stakeholder can, I'll define that in a little bit, and we'll be focusing more on the community aspect of stakeholder engagement. And so given how key stakeholder engagement is to the practice of health impact assessment, many health impact assessment practitioners have worked on developing basically tools to guide the practice of stakeholder engagement within HIA so that practitioners don't basically drop that aspect of the practice because there aren't tools or resources or whatever. So I'll talk a little bit about what some of those resources are. And then I'll talk a little bit about an evaluation that our organization conducted along with several other organizations that actually evaluated the benefit of community participation within the practice of health impact assessment. So it kind of highlights really why we should be doing it, which I feel like I'm probably preaching to the choir, but it's beneficial to just share some of the evidence from this evaluation, this national evaluation that we did. So just to start, in 2012, probably as the field of health impact assessment was about 10 years old, a small work group of people, of HIA practitioners, came together and released something called the Guidance and Best Practices for Stakeholder Participation in HIAs. And so this guidance document, it defines stakeholders, it sets minimum elements of stakeholder engagement, describes barriers to stakeholder engagement in HIA, provides tools for how to do stakeholder analysis, and then includes several case studies of stakeholder engagement within the practice of health impact assessment. And I would say that of the resources that are included in this guidance document, there's a set of stakeholder analysis worksheets that practitioners have said have basically been the most useful because it gives people a way to think about getting together their stakeholders and what power they have and what issues they represent and sort of how you can balance all of that. And then the other thing that a lot of practitioners seem to draw on are these sort of minimum elements. And so what are the minimum things, at worst, the minimum things an HIA should do to engage stakeholders? And we should say that there's a set of practice standards that are separate from this for the field of health impact assessment. And so this builds off of those minimum elements and goes into more detail around where stakeholders can engage in the practice. And so after developing this guidance for the field, we've also started to create sort of resource guides that are available online. And so, like I said, these include tools for stakeholder analysis. Sorry, I'm just looking at my notes. They describe different stakeholder engagement techniques. tools to help facilitate conversations about the social determinants of health, for practitioners, a set of resources to help understand pitfalls and obstacles in doing stakeholder engagement, and then how to evaluate stakeholder engagement. And so the resource guide, it's all, like I said, it's all online, and you can basically click around to get these various tools. Additional things that are in the works are a stakeholder engagement budget template. And so what this does is go into different, it goes into sort of the typical ways that we might try and engage different kinds of stakeholders, and it helps HIA practitioners think through those different methods and the cost of the methods. So, you know, if it's convening an advisory committee to guide your research project, if it's having a sort of community-based steering committee that's guiding the project, if you want to do focus groups or surveys or interviews with community partners, sort of how would you actually cost out some of that? I think that's one of the biggest things that we hear, is that stakeholder engagement is both resource and cost intensive, but that it's incredibly important. So giving practitioners a good sense of what the costs are will help them sort of meet their values and goals better. So this, the budget template is almost done, and it would be available on the, it's called SOFIA, it's the Society of Practitioners of Health Impact Assessment, on their website. Another product that's not as far along are guidance documents to help you think about who could be on an advisory committee to guide a health impact assessment and how you can communicate with them. And the aim for these documents really are for practitioners of health impact assessment, and their goal is to sort of be short and easy to use and to try and really enable good stakeholder engagement techniques. And then finally, we have a national practitioners workshop every other year. It's coming up in March, and at that workshop we'll be creating an oral history of stakeholder engagement in HIA, and so our hope is that people will be videotaped to pass along their successes and the benefits, and we'll create some short videos that people can use to kind of recruit others to participate in HIAs or talk with community members about what the value of HIA might be. So those are some of the resources that have been created for HIA practitioners to do good stakeholder engagement. And then what I'm going to turn to is just sharing some of the results of the national evaluation of community participation in HIA. And so just why we did this evaluation, community specifically, moving more deeper when you're thinking about stakeholders in a project, like focusing more specifically on community partners. So these might be grassroots community organizations that have members that they organize to participate in different kinds of policy campaigns. They might be service providers. They might be other kinds of community-based organizations that sort of interface but don't have a base or don't have a membership that they're actually trying to organize and do leadership development around. So if we focus more specifically on community participation, there's an underlying set of values for the practice of HIA that were established as the field was getting started. And those values include democracy, transparency, elevating the voice of those who are impacted by public policy making, public decision making. And so if you accept that community participation is aligned with those values, it's actually important to sort of look at how well the field is doing. And there has been anecdotal evidence that community participation can affect the success of an HIA, but it hasn't actually been reflected in any of the national evaluations of the field. And so we decided to undertake one of these to assess what skills, resources, and expertise are needed and to look at the effect that community participation can have on the success of HIAs. So it was a two-year evaluation funded by Kellogg and Kresge. We conducted it along with the Group Health Center for Community Health and Evaluation, which is based in Washington State. And we did, we used two research methods. One was a national survey that represented about a third of the HIAs that occurred within the two-year period. So we selected 47 HIAs out of about 130 that were done during that two-year period. And we diversified that sample by sector, geography, and decision-making level, so meaning at a local level, state level, or federal level decision. And both the practitioners of HIA and community members were recruited to participate in the survey that we did. And I would just say that generally the national survey was very representative of the diversity of the field for these criteria of sector, geography, and decision-making level. And then we also followed in four in-depth HIAs that were being conducted or sort of unfolding in real time, and we did observations at events, at various kinds of HIA project events with a local observer. We did in-depth interviews after the HIA was done. We did site visits by evaluation staff at the beginning of the project and at the end, and we did document review. And so, just highlighting a few of the findings. How am I in time? Do you guys? I'm okay? All right, great.
9 minutes.
Awesome, thank you. So, highlighting just some of the top line findings. The evaluation's gonna be released in December or January. And so we're just sharing a few of the top line findings from that. And so, not surprisingly, community participation in the practice of health impact assessment was shown to add to the success of the project. And so let me just take a second to define success. So the goal of health impact assessment is to influence some active decision-making process, policy-making process, or local decision that elected officials or administrative officials within public agencies are making. So it's a real-time decision-making context that you're trying to influence. And the idea is, again, that you're trying to influence decision-makers who are not traditionally in public health, but are who are making decisions in social determinants of health domains. So it sort of embodies a health in all policies. It's HIA is an example of a health in all policies approach. And so success of HIA is often determined by your ability to actually affect the decision so that it can account or improve sort of unintended health impacts that decision makers weren't necessarily considering. And so, you know, if I was to give you a real hyper-local example, you know, land use planners or city housing agency are deciding where to locate an affordable housing development. They're not necessarily considering proximity to roadways. They're not necessarily considering air quality issues or access to, you know, community amenities. And so what HIA might try and do is to influence the decision-making process to consider all of those externalities to sort of redesign or re-envision certain attributes of the policy or the project that are being considered to improve health. And so if you assume that success is both influencing the decision and also kind of getting decision makers to start thinking about health, it's actually kind of amazing to say that 83% of all respondents reported that community participation has a positive impact on that measure of success of actually influencing the decision. And that that super high rate of success is reported by both kind of the wonky HIA practitioner researchy people like myself and then community organizing partners or service providers or whoever we might be working with in a particular community. And so to me that's sort of a compelling finding. I think the other thing I would sort of point out is that a lot of people who look at the practice of health impact assessment often criticize it is an advocacy tool or is not being objective or not being neutral or biased or whatever, which I think many people can acknowledge that most research, there is no such thing as research that is unbiased or neutral. I would just point out that there was never any sort of negative impact of community participation in the process, or at least team members never reported that. And so we also measured, apart from impact of community participation on success of the HIA, we wanted to look at if incorporating community participation into the HIA actually created civic agency. And we define this as a community's ability to organize and undertake collective action in its own self-interest. We created a set of survey questions based on the literature about civic agency, and people's kind of responses to this are reflected on the slide. So because of HIA, the community took action to influence the decision. 85% of respondents said yes. Reported its individual voices were heard. 80% of respondents said yes. Had increased contact with decision makers. 75% of respondents said yes. We took it a step further and did a statistical analysis by creating an agency index with all of these questions and analyzed the odds of reporting whether an HIA was successful based on how high that agency index was. and we found, and this isn't on the slide, but we found that there was a statistically significant odds of reporting higher success with the HIA based on higher levels of civic agency. So this, just to contextualize the next question, I feel like anyone who comes to a CBPR presentation is probably familiar with this slide, but so this is basically the International Association for Public Participation sort of spectrum of public participation. And so we wanted to ask practitioners and community members sort of where they felt like on this spectrum their engagement was represented within the HIA. And I would say that we probably thought most people fell on the inform and consult end of things. I don't know, I think we have like a negative view of ourselves sometimes as not doing a particularly good job with community participation. But what we actually, we were surprised to see that the field was doing better than we had hypothesized, or at least maybe a little bit better than we had expected. So most, both practitioners and community members felt that they were engaged in the sort of involve level. So if you look back, involve is to work directly with the public throughout the HIA process to ensure that public concerns and aspirations are consistently understood and considered. So it's sort of, if I was to speak inelegantly, I would say that inform is a little bit more tokenizing, whereas empower is sort of giving full control of a project to community members that you're partnering with. And so I would say the majority of respondents said that their HIAs fell kind of in the middle, which is not terrible at all. And I think the other thing that was kind of interesting is that community participants actually had a higher sense of where they fell on that spectrum than the practitioner did. And I think all we can sort of say, is that we can be, us wonky people can be a little bit more self-critical and feel like we're constantly failing. And partners that we're working with may actually feel like it's, like even being engaged is a step beyond what often happens in public policy decision making. And so anyway, we don't know that, we can't explain the differences, but that's kind of my guess. So we also looked at what are success factors for good community participation and barriers for good community participation. So the evaluation will have more information on those in there. And I would just say, I think the biggest barriers that we discovered through the evaluation for around community participation, I think this is true for all CBPR approaches, is that time and resources for community members to actually participate, were among the biggest barriers that they reported. So most HIA practitioners, I hate that Kim included the word paying, I would say are not compensating community members for the time and energy that they're actually contributing towards a project. And so I think, you know, that's something that the HIA practitioners will have to think about. And that's what sort of triggered us to create the budget template that I talked about earlier. Many HIAs are achieving admirable levels of participation, but there's still room for the field to improve. Be on the lookout for the full evaluation reports. And then these are, if you want to learn more about anything that I talked about in this presentation, I would encourage you to reach out to any of the folks on this slide, because I think they're way more well-versed than I am. Thank you very much.